Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. J.D. Vance, who is one of the finalists to become Trump's vice president, joins the program. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Become a member. If this program has impacted your life in any way, shape, or form, become a member today. Members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Members.charliekirk.com. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
There's a fair amount of chatter. Who is Trump going to choose for his vice president? Well, I could tell you who I prefer and who I'm pushing both publicly and privately with the president. It's J.D. Vance from Ohio. Senator Vance, boy, it feels good to say that, joins the program. Senator, thank you for your great leadership. I think you would be great if Trump does select you. I know you are kind of in the final four. We can talk about that at a different time. Tell us about this letter you've sent to the dishonorable Merrick Garland about the unconstitutional gag order.
Yeah, Charlie, we'll appreciate everything you're doing. And, just to set the table a little bit, of course, we all know that this is a sham prosecution. I think the jury instructions, the way in which the judge has actively promoted evidence that's bad for Trump and suppressed evidence that's good for Trump, the fact that his daughter has made millions of dollars off of this case, just sort of you go down the list, and this is obviously motivated by politics and not by justice. So the question is, what do we do about it? And I think a lot of our voters rightfully are sick of people like me complaining about it and not using our office to actually do something. And so in the United States Senate, we are in the minority. So Republicans don't have subpoena power. But what I wanted to do with this letter was really set the table and make it clear that the Judge Merchan needs to be investigated. And in fact, there's a good reason, a good amount of evidence to at least justify an investigation to see if there was any wrongdoing here, and then also make it clear that if there was actual wrongdoing here, then we're going to go after that wrongdoing the next time that we have the Department of Justice, which is hopefully in a few months with the Trump administration. We can't just sort of point at Merchan. We can't point at his daughter making millions of dollars, even as she fundraises off the case. where her dad is presiding and throw our hands up and say, well, this is corrupt. There's nothing that we can do. If it's actually corrupt, we ought to investigate and prosecute it. And it's really that simple, Charlie. And I think it's the bare minimum of what people should expect of their elected leaders is that they use the authority granted by the Constitution to root out corruption and wrongdoing. And I think that if we do have that subpoena power next Congress, and if we do have the Department of Justice in the next administration, and I think we're going to have both, then we really need to use it to get to the bottom of this. It cannot be overstated, Charlie, how crazy it is that you have a person raising money off of a sham trial and her father is the presiding judge of that trial. It's ridiculous.
So JD, help me understand that this news that is coming out, and there's contradicting reports about whether or not the jury needs to be unanimous. It's like 4-4 when it comes to what charges proceed. I'm by no means a legal expert, but from what everybody is saying, it needs to be, the Supreme Court has said it should be unanimous in every component. It needs to be 4-4-4. What is going on here, JD? You have a legal background, so I think you could speak to this. What's the truth here?
Yeah, Charlie. So I'm hardly an expert here, but I have followed this pretty closely, and I think I understand at least the controversy. So if you remember, the basic background of this case is they're saying he committed a clerical error, which is at worst a misdemeanor. And I don't even buy the idea that he committed a clerical error, by the way. But they're saying he committed a clerical error that's a misdemeanor. Now, why are we having a felony trial then? Because they're saying that it was in the service of some other crime, whether that was influencing the election or something else. Now, the problem here for the prosecution, Charlie, as others have pointed out, they've not actually identified what the alleged crime, the underlying crime is. And it can't really be election interference because the clerical error took place in 2017 after the election had already happened. So they're kind of like throwing spaghetti against a wall here and saying, well, it could be this underlying crime. It could be that underlying crime. There are like three different things that they're pointing to without providing evidence for any of them. And I think what they're trying to do, Charlie, is to say, well, let's say you're a juror and you don't believe that there was, you know, you don't agree with your fellow jurors about which underlying crime was committed. That would normally lead to an acquittal. But what we're hearing from inside the courtroom is the judge is basically saying, so long as you agree that there could have potentially been some criminal violation, even if the jurors disagree about what that criminal violation was, then you should vote to convict Donald Trump. That would be a huge violation of his rights as an individual, and it would further solidify how much this is a political prosecution. Now, I will say, Charlie, that and I'm not going to defend this judge on anything. I've heard from folks inside the courtroom that we may be misunderstanding the jury instructions that were actually given. So I hope to God the judge did not give such a loaded and corrupt set of instructions. It wouldn't surprise me because he's obviously a political actor, but I've also heard some conflicting reports. So I got to be honest, I'm not totally sure what's going on inside that courtroom.
So I want to transition to just some of the business of the Senate here. I know that we are not in the majority by any means. It was a very frustrating spring as more and more money was sent overseas without any clarity of where that money is going. You have been a hero when it comes to actually putting our country first in regards to the Ukraine situation. Is there a private acknowledgement amongst your colleagues in the Senate that Ukraine is not going to win this war? Has reality finally set in with U.S. Senate Republican colleagues?
You know, Charlie, for some of them, it has. And as gross as this sounds, that actually made them more willing to give more money to Ukraine. Something I definitely heard in the run up to this vote, and you're right, I fought tooth and nail against sending more money to Ukraine, against sending with no strings attached, no oversight, no understanding of what it's being used on, just effectively a blank check to Ukraine. And I think it's a disastrous policy. But what is crazy to me, Charlie, is that the closer it seems like Ukraine has gotten to being clear that they can't win the war, some of my colleagues are saying, well, let's write them a check so we don't get blamed for it. And what an abdication of leadership that is. You hear people saying, well, we know Ukraine can't win the war, but they might lose it more quickly if we don't write them another check. And I'm looking around, Charlie, saying, where are the statesmen, right? Where are the people saying that if the war cannot be won, shouldn't we be negotiating for peace? And shouldn't we be pursuing our interests as much as we can within the reality that we actually live in? Like, you cannot pursue America's interests if you live in a fantasy land where a country that's one-fifth of the size of Russia is going to take hundreds of miles of territory back from the Russians when they're currently in a defensive posture everywhere. You don't have to think that's a good thing. You don't have to support the invasion. You just have to live within reality. And unfortunately, far too few Republicans and Democrats actually do. It's why our foreign policy has been a disaster. And if you zoom out a little bit, Charlie, think about every single catastrophe. You and I are similar ages. We both have young children. Congratulations, by the way, on the baby. Have we actually seen American military leadership and civilian leadership prosecute our interests successfully? Like, when was the last time that America definitively won a war? Maybe 1991, but the fact that it hasn't happened in three decades should really serve as a caution when we hear these people saying we must support the next foreign conflict when they haven't won one for at least 30 years.
Very quickly, JD, there is some controversy and debate of whether or not we should try to go above and beyond to put Biden on the ballot in Ohio. I actually think if Biden is not on the ballot in Ohio, it actually might hurt Bernie Moreno's chances for us to beat Sherrod Brown. Am I thinking about that correctly?
Yeah, I think you are, Charlie. This is a very tough issue. And by the way, it's divided a lot of very good people in the state of Ohio. My view on it is that you're exactly right, actually. Making sure there's a real presidential contest in Ohio, Trump will win by 10 points. But if Biden's not on the ballot, I think a lot of MAGA Republicans won't even show up to vote against him because they'll just say, well, my guy's going to win, so why do I show up at all? But if they don't show up at all, then that's going to be really bad for Bernie Moreno and some down-ticket congressional races. So I think it's really important that we have a real presidential election in the state of Ohio. Now, I also think it's reasonable, by the way, Charlie, for us to say, look, the Democrats screwed this up, and so we should get something out of fixing the ballot mess that they created. What I would say we should get is to ban foreign money from coming into Ohio's elections, as you saw on some of the ballot issues in the last couple of cycles.
Oh, it's been terrible.
That's kind of a win-win.
That Swiss guy is funding all these ballot referendums in Ohio. What's that guy's name? He's a foreigner from Switzerland, multi-billionaire. I totally agree, JD. And I want to win. And it's Hans-Jörg Weiss is his name. My little conspiracy theory for the day is the DNC is okay with Biden not being on the ballot as a way to bail out Sherrod Brown. Just saying. JD, thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie. See you.
All right. I need to tell you guys about Strong Cell. It's amazing. With nearly a million units bought by you, it is more clear than ever that Strong Cell works. It works to combat fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, skin issues, and constant sickness. I've been taking it personally for over a year now, and it's changed my life. I take it in the morning with breakfast, and it helps me with natural energy so I don't have that afternoon crash. And it gives me the clarity of mind to do all that I do every day, which is a lot. If you're tired of feeling tired, struggling with memory, or constantly getting sick, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I love this product because it has NAD. By the way, fact check me on this. Go do your own research on NADH, especially if it's mixed with CoQ10 and marine collagen. Strong Cell uses a proprietary delivery of NADH to make sure it goes straight to your cells to help your mitochondria. And since there are cells in every area of your body, then healthier cells equals a healthier you. The amount of people that use Strong Cell now, thanks to us, is remarkable. Over 1 million units sold. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Check it out. Fact check me. Oh, Charlie's just selling me a product. Okay, maybe you don't want more mental acuity. People say, Charlie, how do you do what you do? Maybe it's the NAD that I take. It's changed the lives of many Kirk listeners. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and use my discount code Charlie to get 20% off your order. This is an emerging body of work and science that is showing that NAD and NADH really might be what your body needs in this contaminated, polluted, and poisoned world. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use special discount code Charlie at checkout to get a special 20% off just for Kirk listeners. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out right now. There's a new poll out, which, again, this is just one poll, and you have to take this as it happens. that shows the following. Biden and Trump tied in Virginia. That's probably not correct. Biden is probably going to win Virginia unless things really get out of control. However, I'm not going to debate that right now. Third parties hurt Trump more is what it says. Now, this is a live ball, meaning it could go either way. Month by month, day by day, week by week, some polls show that RFK hurts Democrats more than Republicans. Some states show that it hurts Biden more than Trump. It depends on the state. It depends on the configuration. It depends on voter registration numbers. It also then will depend on turnout. RFK Jr. is running a campaign where he's trying to be everybody, everything to everybody across the board. I have said for quite some time that Donald Trump needs to do a come home campaign for the Rogan bros. Now, to President Trump's great credit, the crypto announcement this last weekend goes a long way in winning over some of those 50 million crypto owners and 20 to 30 million Joe Rogan listening political potential voters. RFK Jr. has built his entire brand and then his campaign around one solitary issue, medical autonomy. He may be a tyrant every other way, like all left-wing Democrats, but this is the Achilles heel of Trump right now. Since low-information voters still think of Trump and lockdowns as synonymous, even though he left the decision up to the states. In fact, RFK's COVID stuff makes people envision him as a more moderate, libertarian-leaning guy. But at heart, he is not. He is a leftist who sees powerful, authoritarian government as a good thing, especially when it comes to the environment. RFK Jr. joined Sage Steele's podcast. On Sage Steele's podcast, he basically said he's okay with abortion all the way up to birth. That is essentially infanticide. In fact, I know people in my circle that are not nearly as pro-life as I am who were deeply bothered by RFK's comments. Very bothered by RFK's sick and demented and twisted moral views when it comes to abortion. Donald Trump has to do a little bit more to demonstrate that the demographic that is worried about the vaccine, which I am a medical freedom voter, and I have full trust in Trump. I have full trust because I believe Donald Trump got gamed by Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. He was lied to. And understand that before COVID, some of you might have been more enlightened. Some of you might have been more up to speed on this. But before COVID, we trusted a lot of what these pharmaceutical companies would say. We would never think that Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson would test out the vaccine on 8 lab rats, not on humans, that they would falsify clinical trials, that they would lie about pericarditis and myocarditis, that they would fabricate data when it came to the mRNA gene-altering aspects of that. RFK is trying to peel away from Donald Trump support when it comes to people that were upset with COVID. Just yesterday, I had lunch with two individuals, one that said, I can't vote for Trump. I hate Biden. I can't vote for Trump. I said, who are you voting for? He said, I'm voting for Kennedy. I said, why? He said, oh, because of COVID. Donald Trump locked down the country. And that's just not true, by the way. Donald Trump left it up to the states. But I think we have to be intellectually honest that there was a period of time where the administrative state ascended in a point of crisis and our guard was a little down. It was Donald Trump who wanted to open up the economy. It was Donald Trump who was pushing treatments very early on. Fauci lied to him. Deborah Birx lied to him. That is where your criticism should be. And COVID was a once-in-a-generation, once-in-American-history event, and I think lessons have really been learned and internalized from that. It was Trump who wanted to open the economy, who did not want the cure to be worse than the disease. He tweeted that out very early on. This is a problem that needs to be addressed. I think RFK Jr. in certain states hurts Biden more. In certain states currently hurts Trump more. But it's one demographic. It's one demographic. It is college-educated white men who listen to podcasts, who work out a lot, own cryptocurrency, are a little bit libertarian on drug policy, hate Biden, and they need to be given a reason to vote for Trump. Let's give them one. Our friends at Noble Gold are doing something I haven't ever seen before. Noble Gold and Kevin Sorbo have teamed up to provide a free 7-part masterclass that they're calling the Economic Crisis Toolkit. This free series offers video training on asset protection strategies and how to discover growth opportunities during economic crisis. These are tools that host Kevin Sorbo breaks down in 7 easy-to-digest economic classes. Learn to simplify economic concepts and give yourself the personal tools to find potential weak spots in your portfolio. All combined, it's over 1 free hour of premium content dedicated to you becoming a more resilient investor, no matter what future financial challenges may arise. Helpful investor tips narrated by the Hercules that Hollywood canceled, Kevin Sorbo himself. Sign up right now to gain free access. Register to unlock the class at wealth.noblegoldinvestments.com. Visit wealth.noblegoldinvestments.com. Joining us now is a very, very exciting duo of guests, is Jessica Tapia, fired from California school over refusing gender policy. Her website is teachersdontlie.com, and also joined by Bob Tyler, General Counsel of Advocates for Faith and Freedom. Welcome to you both. Jessica, welcome back to the program. Tell us your story and walk us through it. We have some time.
Awesome. Yeah. So it all started a couple years ago when students decided to look me up on social media, and there they found things I don't talk about in class. They discovered my Christian conservative views and took issues to them. They sent in several posts of mine from Instagram to the school district. And like we're seeing many schools do today, they immediately sided with the students on this. They began investigating, called me in, and decided that my Christian conservative views that I'm outspoken about on social media were not okay, but that I was going to barely be allowed to come back to work. However, now with a plan of assistance and directives, and that's when I had these various transgender directives placed on me. I was asked to, going forward, now call students by their preferred pronoun or gender, withhold that information from their parents, and also allow transgenders in my girls' locker room. I was a PE teacher. So I immediately was convicted over those. The Lord immediately said, "You're entering spiritual warfare, stand firm." And I took off on stress leave for 3 months to decide what to do, because essentially I had 3 options, right? Put my head in the sand and follow these directives to save my salary, resign and just walk away, which would have done no one good, or speak up, take a bold stand and speak up and say, I cannot comply with these things because they go against my beliefs. And so in the end, that is clearly what the Lord led me to do. And I did that. And my school district said, it sounds to us like you're asking for a religious accommodation. So come on in and we'll see if and how we can accommodate your religious beliefs. So I was excited because that's what employers are supposed to do, right? But that's not what happened. I was questioned up and down on my faith as a Christian and why it was that I could not follow these directives. What is it about my faith that says I can't do that? And at the end of that meeting, they decided that they could not accommodate my religious beliefs. They put that in writing in my termination letter, and I was fired from my tenured teaching position. The very high school I went to as a student and met my husband at, I was fired in January of 2023. A few months later, we filed a lawsuit against Harupa Unified School District, and 1 year later came to this settlement.
That's amazing. Bob, do you have something to add to that from a legal standpoint? And this is a major victory.
Hey, this is huge. Charlie, I first want to thank you and Pastor Jack Kibbs when you guys had met Jessica and suggested she call me. When I received that call from Jessica at first, I looked at this case and said, you know, this is not a slam dunk. It's one of these cases that we've got to fight for it because this is cutting edge stuff. We're at the point of the spear, and we've got a young lady here who put her career on the line. And effectively, she said, I'm not going to lie to teachers. I'm not going to lie to students. I'm not going to lie to parents. And she's not going to lie to herself. And so, you know, we took this case on with the goal of trying to set some legal precedent. Instead, they came back and offered a financial settlement, which, frankly, is often far better than even getting legal precedent, because this shows that the school district and school districts across the country should really count the cost. If they're going to terminate a teacher for improper reasons under these circumstances, then it's going to come out of their pocketbook. Now, one thing that's important here is that what the school district effectively was saying, and if we allowed this to stand, and if Jessica didn't stand up to this, their position is that if you're a Christian teacher and you stand upon your traditional Christian biblical worldview and values, you're not qualified to teach. So you either have to give those up in order to teach in the public school system, or you need to quit, or you're going to be terminated. And that's not right, because that's not what the law is, because the law allows accommodations to be made. And here in California, we've gone so far left when it comes to these transgender issues that it has become very difficult for teachers. So we launched with Jessica this campaign, Teachers Don't Lie. And so folks can go to teachersdontlie.com. And we really appreciate you having us on here, because what we want to do is we want to take this out. We want teachers across the country who are in the same circumstances as Jessica to realize that they have someone to come back them up. We will, as a legal organization, fight for them. We can do what we've done for Jessica, Lord willing. Interestingly, Charlie, when we launched this, not only are we getting other teachers who are contacting us, which, by the way, we've had over 100 inquiries since this case was announced a week ago. We have prison workers who are guards, who are women, who are being forced to be in front of a transgendered, a biological male when they need to be inspected, so to speak, and they have to undress. And the women are being forced by California policy to be a part of that when they're saying, I've got an objection to that. So we're finding this whole transgender issue is it's beyond schools, of course. And so here we are. We're going to fight for religious accommodations for Christians and say, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you cannot work in the public arena.
Right.
So the... Jessica, I guess my question is, you decided to act with faith here. A lot of people, though, say, I can't quit my job. I can't do it. You know, I can't lose my salary. What convicted you to act? And what is your message to people in the audience that say, oh, this is too much for me? I'm going to keep on doing things I don't believe because I need to make sure I pay my mortgage.
Yeah, you know what? It all came down to fear of the Lord. I was in a really scary situation when I sat in on these several meetings that the district called me into, literally shaking in my chair. And I really had to check my fear, is what I say, and make sure that even though I was scared about the situation I was in and what could come of it, that my fear of the Lord came above it all, because we know that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I needed wisdom in this situation to make the right choice. I've always been someone who's always just wanted to do the right thing and make the right choice. And I want it to be the right thing and the right choice in God's eyes, not man's. And I had to, again, remind myself, make my decision based on fear of the Lord and make my decision to please him and not man. And, you know, sitting in front of all those higher ups of mine, I knew what they wanted me to do because they were putting the pressure on. They wanted to see me bend a knee. They wanted to see me bow down. They wanted to see me just say, sure, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I knew that this was also just going to be the beginning of their asks, and things were just going to get worse. So I knew I had to hold the line right then and there, and that God would provide. Yes, the school district might all these years have paid me my paycheck, but ultimately he's my provider. And this is the greatest way I've ever put my faith into action. And I can just say so confidently that it's the best thing probably that I've ever done, because I've gotten to see the Lord in ways I've never seen him before, the way he has protected and provided and blessed. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have taken this stand.
Jessica, do you hope more teachers and more people take similar stands and start to speak out?
Absolutely. That's my hope and prayer. It's been for the last 2 years that I've walked through this, because I know there's power in my one voice, but I know that to make a real change and a real difference, it's going to take a good number of us rising up and holding the line for truth and, you know, putting our trust and fear in God alone, not government.
Bob, final thoughts here. How can people contact you guys? You said you received 100 inquiries. That's remarkable.
Yeah, actually, it's actually more than 100, and they keep coming in from people across the country. We have a website that we created specifically for teachers called teachersdontlie.com. No apostrophe and don't. Teachersdontlie.com. And you can go to that and you can contact us. Jessica's working with us now to be able to help counsel other teachers, just give them courage and encouragement to be able to do what they're doing. And anybody else, if you have an inquiry that you want to contact us because you're faced with something similar, give us a contact at our website, which is faith-freedom.com. You can go to faith-freedom.com and you can click on a link and you can send your inquiry to us and be happy to look into it and speak with you.
Very good. Jessica, thank you for your leadership. And Bob, thank you as well. God bless. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
I want to remind you to get your tickets to the People's Convention. That's right, the People's Convention coming up in Detroit, Michigan. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Real America's Voice is going to have a major presence there. We look forward to seeing you. We're going to be doing our shows there as well. We're going to be doing our live shows. I'm really excited to see you guys. tpaction.com/peoples. Love to see you guys. Shake some hands, take some selfies. So get your tickets right now, tpaction.com/peoples. President Donald Trump is the keynote. We have Tulsi Gabbard, Vivek Ramaswamy, Steve Bannon, many others, tpaction.com/peoples. You know, we received so many emails yesterday. I asked you, the audience, I said, what do you think they have planned for us? And the combined wisdom of this audience is truly remarkable. The emails we received are very telling. What will the Democrats do next? Let me read some of them. Michael says they will activate military-aged men and cross the border illegally all across America. Ha, ha, ha. Well, they're already doing that. I would say we received a couple thousand emails, and you guys can still email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. The number one answer of what the Democrats have planned next, because they got something. They got something. Was illegals to vote. Getting illegals to vote. Cut 50 here. Amy Walter from the Cook Political Report says Joe Biden to be losing to Donald Trump by this margin is unsustainable at this point for any incumbent. They are about to do something desperate, unprecedented, sneaky, illegal. There is something looming around the corner. Write it down, because as we say, only the paranoid survive. Play cut 50.
You know, look, we've seen in the past, Mika, that candidates who are seen as maybe not as strong on the economy ultimately win an election, like, right, say, Barack Obama in 2012. But mm-hmm. to be losing by this margin, that is unsustainable at this point for an incumbent.
Unsustainable. Meanwhile, President Trump is growing the Republican Party. It's a campaign unlike anything we've ever seen from Republican candidates. I'm seeing this on the ground. We're seeing this with the doors we are knocking on at Turning Point Action, the conversations that we are having, the communities that we are organizing. People that would not necessarily fit into the Republican mold. Why? Because Donald Trump represents a response to cheap money, open borders. Cheap money and open borders. There is a widespread Western world revolt against the ruling class in Argentina, in the Netherlands. You're going to see it also, by the way, in the July 4th United Kingdom elections, where Labour, very left wing, they are the populist movement because the Tories have had power for about 12 years and they are about to get significantly displaced. It is the people versus the elites. It is the citizens versus the rulers. And they are not going to take this easily or simply. All of a sudden, they're talking about the bird flu, or is it the cow flu, or the scallop flu, whatever. I can't keep track of it. The shrimp flu. Play cut 64.
Trump going there this week. They are striking such a confident pose right now. He goes to the libertarians and tells them, if you want to keep getting your 3%, go ahead. Otherwise, come with me. He goes to the Bronx and says, I'm better than Joe Biden. I'm trying to build a party that's inclusive of you. I think all the places he's going, they are striking this confident pose. And it's a campaign unlike we've seen from other Republican candidates. I think it's pretty confident, and they know they're winning, and they're trying to take advantage of that position.
You see, this is the Great Reset versus the constitutional reset. That's what we have here. We want a reset of our Constitution. We want to see the people at the center of our government. Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, she says that Americans will choose good over evil on The View. Makes you wonder, what are they going to try to make that argument? False flag, infiltration, January 6th style Fedsurrection again? We are on our toes. I'm going to tell you, we are looking and watching. We are at a place now where every news story, we are wondering, is this going to be the big one? Is this the new COVID? Play cut 75.
I've raised alarm bells among other Republicans about the danger of a second Donald Trump term. And I'm genuinely fearful for what that could look like. But consistently, we're seeing poll after poll that are showing Trump beating your husband outside of the margin of error. Are you fearful of what a second Trump term could look like?
Or a third, as Donald Trump says. Mm-hmm. So I believe that Americans are going to choose good over evil.
Yes.
Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. The prophet Isaiah had it perfectly 3,000 years ago. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.